Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, there's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Wednesday here on Tiki and Tierney, around the country, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Hey, we need a quick 20 off the bench. Let's get our guy Eddie House. This guy can fill it up.
Quick 20 off the bench.
Well, he can do it, kind of like Lou Williams a little bit. He'd come in and he'd just bomb it away and, you know, not afraid to shoot him, you know, great range and just a great scoring acumen. He's an analyst. He's a contributor for FS1. And Eddie is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Eddie, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. I was trying to recollect exactly. I forget the number, but what was the when you exploded? And I know you did it many times, but the big game you had with the Sun Devils, was it north of 50? How many did you score in that one game?
It was just one north of 60.
60.
60. That's right. Who was that against?
Hello.
Yeah, who was that against, Eddie?
That was against Cal.
That doesn't count. Cal State.
You know what, guys? If you really want to know, Cal was 18 for 30 from the field, 7 for 10 from the three-point line, and 18 for 19 from the free throw. But who remembers?
Yeah, listen, right? You know, those fuzzy details, right, Eddie? It's all a thing of the past. How you doing, man? You okay?
Yeah, I'm great, man.
Hey, Eddie, look, we're trying to figure out if there is a solution to the Russell Westbrook conundrum. That is, this dude just takes a non-conventional, ill-advised shots. He's not a good three-point shooter, but he jacks up, you know, six or seven of them a game. He makes maybe one. You know, is there salvation for him to help him advance into the postseason?
Well, I think the problem is with Russ right now is shooting. He's thinking about it. I think he's improved everywhere else. Where people were down on him was he jacks up shots. He doesn't get guys involved when he should. He has Paul George. Why isn't he passing to Paul George? Why he ran KD off? Well, he changed his game. If you look at him this year, he's much more of a pass-first point guard. At times, he does get in attack mode, but for the most part, he's a pass-first guy. Paul George will be the first to tell you that. He's reaping the benefits of Russ's change. So when that happens, sometimes something has to give, right? So what had to give was his shooting percentage.
Yeah.
You come off a pick and roll, and you used to being, I'm going to the basket or I'm shooting it. Now you have to say, "Hey, well, I gotta look to get somebody else." He had to adapt his game and change his game, and there's a second of hesitation that changes everything.
Yeah, no, listen, I hear you, and when it comes to that stuff, you play it. I'll certainly defer, but it's my opinion. I started the show with this, Eddie, that and it's too late because you know he's 30, and you can't go back and rewind over the past decade. Scottie Brooks, good guy, okay coach. You know, Billy Donovan, good guy. Great college coach, okay NBA coach. Nobody's ever held him accountable to a style that is necessary to win championships, and I fear it's too late to really truly change him.
Well, I don't think that at all. I think he's so good. First off, if anybody gets an average of a triple double in the league, I think they could do whatever they want.
No,
they'll be able to change, and not for just 1 year, but do it for three straight years. People are just acting like that's normal. If it's so normal, why isn't anybody else doing it, right? Number one, because I'm a big Russ defender. If it's so easy, why isn't anybody else doing it?
Because I'll certainly get, because not everybody chases numbers like he does.
That's a damn lie. I'm gonna tell you why it's a lie. Because how do you get paid? You have to have numbers to get paid. Everybody goes into a game of all the best rebounders. I'm gonna get 20 rebounds tonight. Yeah, a little harder than you thought. You end up with 13. Everybody, I'm gonna go get 20 assists. You end up with 8. It's harder than you think. And everybody is searching to put up numbers. He's just the one that's doing it. So it's people are looking at it like, oh, he's that stuff. And so is everybody else. They're just not able to do it on his level. Now, as far as to get back to your question, if a coach was to come in there and change things up, I think, number one, a coach has to be able to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
You got to get a coach with a backbone, a coach with some strength that he will respect.
That's what I said. If
you, not that he doesn't respect his coaches. Let me say, because that sounds crazy. Not that he doesn't respect his coaches, but somebody that's going to make him hold him accountable for it. You can't blame him. Like, it's just like if you have a kid and you let him keep getting away with stuff and you don't ever discipline him. Well, how would they ever know or how would they ever change unless you discipline him?
I get the analogy. And when you lay it out that way, it makes a little bit of sense. But Eddie, with all due respect, you make it seem like he's the only one putting up numbers. There's guys who put up numbers that, I don't know, actually emerge from the first round on occasion. I mean, come on.
Who's averaging a triple-double?
But okay, so what? So there's a guy who has two fewer rebounds. Who cares? Do you really need your guard to rebound?
Two fewer rebounds and two fewer assists, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you went to the rec center today, would you be able to get a triple-double?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I'd hang in horse.
If you can't get it in the rec center and a guy's averaging it for three seconds, give him his credit and stop poking holes in what he's doing.
No, but, yeah, but
you know, I agree. I just don't like
he doesn't win.
Down. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that, but I do appreciate what he does.
Look, we can agree to disagree and argue over Russell Westbrook all you want. The point is, he's not going to get to the NBA Finals, and especially with the game that he plays right now.
Well,
but only
two teams out of 28 that's going to get there. Though.
True. But a team that could is the Denver Nuggets, and it's interesting when you see them because they were down 19 against the San Antonio Spurs. Coach Malone put. Jamal Murray on the bench in the third quarter. They went on a run, and he showed faith in putting them back in into the game. And obviously, he went bonkers in the fourth.
21 in the fourth.
I mean, how hard is that for the player? And then how difficult is that for the coach to say, "Dude, this is my guy. You got us here. You got to do it now."
It's a lot easier than averaging a triple double. But no, in all seriousness. You know what? When you get somebody rolled, to the way he did it, the coach, you have to have ultimate trust and belief, and that goes over a body of work. And I think, that trust that he had in Jamal, even though he started slow, didn't play well, he's a guy that carries you all season long, so you have to ride with him. And you have to be – and that's the hard thing about a coach is you have to know when to say, I got to take him out, or when to tell him, go ahead and do what you do. And you live with those mistakes that he's doing, that he's making or bad shots that he could be taking to try to find his rhythm. I tell you what, I'd much rather have a guy go out like how to do what he did, like Jamal Murray, than, and then he come back and win. Even if they didn't come back and win and he went aggressive like that, you can live with that as opposed to what Kyle Lowry did in game one. 0-for-7, you got to get more shots if you're the all-star. It's clear cut for a coach when he sees things going like that. It's just the rhythm of it. Who do I take him out? Do I leave him in? That's a tough decision. For the player, it's easy, man. You just go out there and ball.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, especially for a young player like that who doesn't have any bad habits or anything like that. But you talk about a guy not shooting. And Kyle Lowry, look, his game was off in game one. He rebounded expertly in game two, I thought, with 22. And obviously they blew out the Orlando Magic. But a guy who had an inexplicable low number of shots, particularly in the fourth quarter, was Kevin Durant in that loss to the Clippers in game one. He only shot three shots in the fourth, and basically the one that he made was a bunny, right? So how do you explain the maybe best, second best at worst, player in the game disappearing in the first round of the playoffs? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It doesn't make sense. You would definitely think that he would have more attempts, but just when you have a Clay, when you have Draymond, and when you have Steph, there's other guys on the floor that are just as good offensively and just as equipped offensively to get you going or get you over the hump or to seal the deal. I think, the foul trouble kind of hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
Took him away from his aggressiveness. And then I think that's times where coaching comes into play. And also a true point guard. Not this, you look at Steph, I wouldn't consider Steph a true point guard. Steph's not a guy that's going to come down and organize his team and get them in the right sets and make sure guys, Steph is going to play within his system. Though he is a very efficient and very good point guard because he's at that position, but he's not per se a floor general, a floor leader. And I think that's where they lack in that moment, in that game only. And then also coaches have to recognize, hey, man, I got to get this guy a touch. I got to and not just a normal touch, like I'm just going to throw him to the block and let the whole defense look at him and then load up. No, you got to get him on the move to where bodies are moving to get him something easy, something comfortable, get him to his spot where he's comfortable, not where he has to fight to get it to his spot. Trying to run him into his spot. So it goes on coaching as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I brought up Kerr and I levied some of the criticism at him the other day as well. You know, and I think how you characterize Steph is on point. He's not a true pure point guard, but I guess my question is, how many true pure point guards are there
anymore? Right? They got to score.
How many are there?
Well, there's a handful of them out there, but they really don't get the credit that they deserve because number one, it's a shooting league, it's a scoring league, and if you can't shoot at the point guard position, you basically are a liability. You look at what Ben Simmons is, as well as he played. I mean, you can game plan him out of a game as well. You know, in pick and roll, you just go under. What do you get out of the pick and roll if you go under? You get nothing because it's basically the action never happened.
So true.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying true because he's not going to shoot it. He's terrified to shoot.
So, I think Chris Paul is definitely one of the pure point guard. I even talk Jrue Holiday. I think he's so underrated.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic point guard. It's a lot of them out there. I mean, DJ Augustine is playing fantastic point guard as well. I mean, Kyle Lowry is a good point guard, you know, and I think he's more of a pass first in the shoot first point guard, even though he does score a lot. I think I looked at him in the game yesterday and in game one. You look at a lot of the plays he makes, he has opportunities to shoot them balls, but he's trying to get other guys involved. So that shows me that he has natural point guard being a pure point guard at heart.
All right, so we're talking to Eddie House. He's got to start wrapping it up here, unfortunately. Having a good time. Good energy, man. No surprise. We've seen you on the show over on FS1. We know that you'd bring it, which is great. 11 years in the NBA. You got a title with the Celtics. Big-time scorer. I am curious, though. I expect a lot more from the Utah Jazz moving forward in this Rockets series. I like them a lot. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Rockets, but that was an unnerving performance. Do I need to reconsider how I view the Utah Jazz, or is that a one-off? How do they play tonight?
You know what? It's funny because I thought the same thing. I thought this series was going to be, at least off of game one, I thought the game one, it should be a little bit more competitive than what it was. The Rockets just got everything they wanted. I mean, there was no resistance on either side. Offensively, the Rockets did what they wanted to do. Defensively, they did what they wanted to do. So, I'm gonna expect more fight out of Utah.
Yeah.
And you know, game two, we could talk up game one to nerves, but now you're settled in. And game two, they should come out and give a little bit more fight. But we could say, was it Utah being that bad or is Houston becoming that good?
Yeah. So, well, Eddie, before we let you go, because it's real quick, because you talk about Houston being that good. The Milwaukee Bucks, about 2-3 weeks ago in regular season, sheepdogged James Harden. He basically just cut off his left. Like, I'm standing directly to your left. It frustrated him. He shot, like, whatever he shot. It was 5 of 20-something. It was horrible. And they ended up losing that game. Teams are trying to do it now. The Jazz tried to do that. But he destroyed them. He went straight to the hole and, you know, lobs to Capella. It was wide open. Does that like, defensive scheme, will it actually work against James Harden, or is he too good of a player?
Well, first off, really no defensive scheme really takes a great offensive player out of their game. You know, you do exactly what you said. You frustrate them. You get them to take shots that they wouldn't take. You may have them take shots under duress or be uncomfortable. The way that you cannot give him a straight line drive, okay? Yeah. So you could get on his left hand and say, hey, you're not going left, but you better have help to that right. Because if you let him come straight downhill, he's a professional. He can dribble right-handed and finish right-handed. So you can't just cut that off without having him see a body moving to his right. He has to at least see help. So on the right side, they got to show their help. If they continue to play the way, to just give him a straight line drive, he will continue to kill them. They have too much shooting. So the defense is going to suck in. You're going to find wide open, more and more wide open shots for them. And then there's going to be lobs around the rim. So you got to keep him out of the paint. That's the most important thing. Keep him out of the paint. You can live with contested shots, but you cannot let him get in the paint.
Eddie House, nice job. Nice debut here on Tiki and Tierney, FS1 analyst. Long time in the NBA. Championship with the Celtics. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you down the road, Eddie.
Yep, have a good one. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.